So this Transcendental Knowledge, Chapter 4, ends up speaking about the power of the sacrifice performed in real knowledge. And on text number 38, Krishna says, "In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism." This is on page 237. "And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time." Purport. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. When one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Would you like to sing the Sanskrit together also? Okay, so I'll say and then please repeat. Nahi jnanena sadrisham.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham.
Pavitram iha vidyate.
Pavitram iha vidyate.
Tat svayam yoga samsiddha.
Tat svayam yoga samsiddha.
Kalinatmani vindati.
Kalinatmani vindati.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham.
Pavitram iha vidyate.
Pavitram iha vidyate.
Tat svayam yoga samsiddha.
Tat svayam yoga samsiddha.
Kalinatmani vindati.
Kalinatmani vindati.
A few more we'd like to chant.
Nahi
jnanena sadrisham. Pavitram iha vidyate.
Tat svayam yoga samsiddha.
Kalinatmani vindati. Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Pavitram iha vidyate. Tat svayam yoga samsiddha. Kalinatmani vindati. Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Pavitram iha vidyate. Tat svayam yoga samsiddha.
Kalinatmani vindati.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham. Pavitram iha vidyate. Tat svayam yoga samsiddha. Kalinatmani vindati.
Nahi
jnanena sadrisham. Pavitram iha vidyate. Tat svayam yoga samsiddha. Kalinatmani vindati.
Nahi
jnanena sadrisham. Pavitram iha vidyate. Tat svayam yoga samsiddha. Kalinatmani vindati. Na.
Nothing.
He
certainly,
jnanina,
with knowledge,
sadrisham,
in comparison,
pavitram,
sanctified,
iha,
in this world,
vidyate,
exists,
tat,
that,
swayam,
himself,
yoga,
in devotion,
sangsida,
he who is mature,
kalina, in course of time
Atmani
in himself
Vindati
enjoys.
Translation
again. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. I'll say and then please repeat. In this world,
there is nothing so sublime and pure
as transcendental knowledge.
Such knowledge
is the mature fruit of all mysticism.
And one who has become accomplished
in the practice of devotional service
enjoys this knowledge
within himself
in due course of time.
Purport one more time. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. So, let's talk about a couple of things from this verse and purport. That when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. When one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. So we're going to have a discussion on that part, for starters. Satyadev Prabhu might be persuaded to start the discussion. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada makes a point in the purport that the word knowledge is not, he's not talking about mundane knowledge, but he's talking about spiritual knowledge. And so the cause of anxiety, the cause of suffering, the cause of lack of peace is lack of this knowledge. And one who has this knowledge, therefore, is peaceful. The soul itself is Sat-Chit-Ananda, so eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. So if this knowledge becomes covered by ignorance, then even though the soul has these qualities, because he's projected his consciousness into the world of the mind and the senses, therefore, that's what his experience is. And so the mind is always changing. The senses are always wanting. And so in that world, in the mind of the world of the mind, it's always changing. And in the world of the senses that are always wanting, where is their peace? So the solution is to live within the self, becomes Atmanam, to be situated within oneself, within that knowledge, and one will find that peace. It's nowhere else, but it's there within the self. The happiness is within the self, the eternity is within the self, the knowledge is within the self, and that state of peace is there within the self. So, you know, one might ask the question, then, Krishna is saying that one who is mature, and mature in this practice, that will have this experience automatically. where we could ask, you know, how this has come about. We see, actually, you know, that people who begin chanting, maybe they don't know what it is. And they come into a kirtan, just like the other, last Friday night on Hari Nam, these students joined in the chanting, and they started, they appeared to genuinely be very happy and inspired by the chanting. So while they were in that kirtan, I don't think, if you ask them, are you experiencing any anxiety right now? Do you feel happiness? Do you feel peaceful? They would say yes. So that's the power of kirtan. And that's why it's the benediction for this age. If we enter into the kirtan, at least while our mindless focus is in that kirtan, then even though we don't know anything, the soul begins to come alive, and that state of peace begins to manifest, even without being fully conscious of it.
Thank you very much, Sati Prabhu. I'd like to bring our attention to a verse that you'll find in your verse book. It's Srila Prabhupada Shloka's book that's on your book stand. And you can look at page number 384 at the top, and this is from the Vishnu Purana. Tell me when you get there. Page 384 in this Shloka book. It's this book. It's this cover. Okay, everyone there? Good. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tritiya Shakti Rishite. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual, as verified by the Shastras. There is another spiritual potency known as Kshetragya, or the living entity. The third potency, which is known as Nescience, makes the living entity godless and fills him with fruitive activity. So this is a very scientific, kind of analytical view of the different energies of the Lord. Of course, it's described in the Vedas, Parasya Shakti Vividaiva Shuyate, that the Lord has unlimited potencies, limited energies. But for the sake of classification here, they've been divided into three. And what are the three that the Vishnu Purana told us about? Number one?
The internal potency of the Lord.
There's the internal potency of the Lord. And then the next one that's being described? The living entity. And what's the living entity being called in this verse? Yes, Srivatsa? You got your hand up. Let's see what you got to say for yourself. Okay. Second, that is... what?
Kshetragya.
Kshetragya, which means what? This is a very interesting phrase for what is we're calling the living entity. Kshetra means? But it really means a field. A place, a field, right? And gya means? Someone who knows. So what field does the living entity know? What we're calling the living entity?
The soul.
The soul, which is the Kshetragya, means he's the knower of the field. His deha, wherever he is, that's what he knows, that little area. So I know my body, but I don't know your body. You know what's going on, the consciousness in your body, when there's pain or when there's happiness, and I only know in mine. So he's called Kshetragya. So there's the internal potency of the Lord, then there's the Kshetragya, the living entity, and what's the third energy? Nescience. Also called? Yes, Srivatsa? Okay, the third energy is called?
Yes? Marginal potency.
No, that's the Kshetragya, marginal, yeah?
Sorry.
Third energy is?
External potency.
External potency, Maya. And in this verse, it's. Pardon?
Avidya.
Avidya. It's just characterized by. As described here, by fruit of activity. The living entity is covered by this third energy, Maya, nescience, abhidya, and it causes him to engage in fruit of activity. So then the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can also look at another verse, describes What is the predicament then? What is the consciousness, the situation of that kshetragya when he's covered by maya? And that verse is in the 11th canto and is on page number 265 in this book. And we can read this together. Bhayam dvitiya binibeshita syad. Ishara petasya viparya yo smriti. Tamaya yato buddha abhijetam. Bhaktyaika yesham guru devata ma. And the translation, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body, because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. How about that? That's the first sentence. So this is what happens to a kshetragya who becomes misidentified. He's actually a part of Krishna. He's actually a part of the internal potency. But because he's a separated part of the Lord and he's tiny, he can fall under the influence of the external energy. And what is his situation within that when he's in avidya? It's more clearly explained here, bhayam. Bhayam means fear. So in what ways does a little jiva who's actually eternal, he can't be killed, right? Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. He can't be killed by being dried up, by being cut to pieces,
burnt.
How else can't he be killed?
Drowned? No weapons can cut it.
No what?
No weapons can cut.
No weapons. No weapons can cut him? No? He can't be cut.
Can't be burned.
Can't be
burned? Cannot be.
But what about a nuclear bomb? That could probably do it. Nope, no. That won't do it. Can't be drowned either.
Can't
be dried up either. The soul is eternal. Socrates knew about this, right? When they came, they told him to take back what he was preaching, and they said, listen, you're going to have to drink hemlock and you know, for your punishment if you don't recant. He said, well, you're not going to kill me, you're just going to kill my body. He understood. Dhiras tatra namuyate, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, dehi nosmin yata dehe komaranyavaram jara. Tata dehantara praptya dhiras tatra namuyate. That just as we pass from boyhood to youth to old age, Krishna says similarly, at the end of this body, when you utkramantam stitam vapi, he says, when you step out of this body, you step into another body. And so he says, dhiras tatra namuyate. What's dhira?
A sober
person. A person who's sober, who's not affected by the external energy, that person's not disturbed by such a change. So a person who's bewildered and thinks, I'm my body, I'm going to die, I can be cut to pieces, anything can happen any time, then he or she becomes afraid, and that's called bhayam. So what about that bhayam? Anybody know anything about that? Fear that exists in the material existence? Has anybody experienced that before? Yes? Fear of death? Have you experienced that, a fear of death or old age? It's always there. I've experienced it. The fear of death, the fear of old age. Where else, how else does it this fear manifest itself in this world? Yes? And how does that make you fearful? Yeah. Yeah. And one way I think of it is, you know, anything that we could try to control in this world, problem is we can't control it. For one thing that people really try hard to control in this world is money. Isn't it? It's one of the top headlines everywhere is about money. Because everyone wants to control money somehow or other because money leads to... Yeah, that's right. You got to have money if you're going to be happy in this world. You got to have some kind of standing. through money. So everyone's always counting their money and thinking, like, how can I make more money? And what else? There's another part to that. I want to count my money. I want to make more money. But what's the third part?
How can I save my money?
I don't want to lose any money. That's a very fearful situation. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a description of the forest of material enjoyment and how this world is like the forest of material enjoyment. And when somebody enters into that deep, dark forest trying to find some kind of wealth or happiness, he becomes bewildered at every turn. And one of the things there is the wealth. It's always being threatened. In fact, I had a relative yesterday tell me that for some reason the IRS came to their door. Have you ever heard of the IRS coming to your door? Doesn't that just scare you, me talking about it? See, there's a little fear. You come to the door and there's a card on the door. Do we have an extra singer in here tonight? Who's singing? Oh, okay. Then you become afraid. Somebody's going to take what I have. So we try to become the controller, and we try to hold on to things. We try to hold on to money, or we try to hold on to any situation. We become afraid. And why is that? Because we're attached and we can't hold on to it. It's impossible. You know, whatever we think we can hold on to in this world will gradually be taken away from us one way or the other. And therefore, it leads to fear. So this verse says, Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshita. It means absorption. We actually become absorbed in that kind of consciousness of trying to control and trying to find some happiness in material life. And therefore, fear arises. And this is a result of, according to this word, apetasya viparya yosmriti. Apetasya means that we've turned away from Krishna. We've turned away from him. And therefore, we experience all these things. Srivata, going to have to really keep it down. Okay? So, we're talking about how transcendental knowledge can... Through transcendental knowledge, we can gain victory over this condition of material life, which means absorption in thinking that I can control this world, absorption in I am thinking I'm my body, and therefore experiencing fear. So now let's talk about how we conquer over that situation of fear in this material world through transcendental knowledge. What is it about transcendental knowledge? You can introduce a verse, or if you have some realization, you can talk about it. This transcendental knowledge, how we actually conquer over fear. Please hand Rakshit Prabhu the microphone.
It's right next to you.
Transcendental knowledge is also equated with working in Krishna consciousness, or being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and with the knowledge that Krishna is the supreme, he is the predominant. And when you were reading this verse, and it mentioned something about peace, I was reminded of another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that there is the peace formula that is given. That's the Bhokta Ram verse. And there, I believe, in the purport, there is some discussion about what transcendental knowledge is. I'd like to refer to 529.
Okay, 529 in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's on page 271.
And this is the Bhoktaram verse. Bhoktaram yagna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram surdam sarva bhutanam gnatva mam santim archati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. And I think in the purport, Prabhupada talks about this peace formula, that this peace actually comes from this recognition that Krishna is the supreme, he is the predominator. Everything has emanated from him, the cosmic manifestation, the living entities, everyone, and that the living entities are as such part and parcel of him. And having recognized this, a person then begins to work in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says here that to work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. With such work, then peace comes. And such work is also work in devotional service. So, by recognizing this and working in Krishna consciousness, one also engages in devotional service. And this engagement in devotional service will bring peace and take fear away. Fear is going to go away, is going to be mitigated by such engagement in devotional service.
Thank you. What a practical point. We can follow that up a little bit by looking in the songbook. You can look in this book, the Songs of the Vaishnavacharyas, and turn to page 51. And this is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from the Sharanagati. And what does that mean, Sharanagati?
Surrender.
Yeah, it's a process of surrender. There's ways in which we can surrender to Krishna, and he talks about these six methods of surrender. And let's name them. Let's name what the six processes of surrender are. Yes.
Adu kulyasya sankalpa, sati kulyasya vajnam, rakshishyati iti vishwasah, gopa prithve varanantaha, atma ikshap karpanyam, shavidha sharanagati.
Okay, now let's look at that verse so we can all know where it is. You'll find this in your Prabhupada Shloka book. And the page number is 407. Shall we sing it together? Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyastiti vishvaso goptrikve varanam tata Atma Nikshepa Karpanye Shavita Sharanagati. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender and humility. And the song in the songbook that I was going to refer to, page 51. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about the giving everything to the Lord, surrendering everything to the Lord. And in this song he says, "My mind, body, and family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or bad, in life or death, all my difficulties have disappeared because I have chosen those lotus feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, that may it be in the home of your devotee. Let me be born again even as a worm, as long as I may remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma, averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely free of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, husband, you are everything to me. Bhaktivinoda says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul." So, we have all these we have whatever situation we're in, we can surrender that to the Lord. So if we have a house, family, money, all those things become a great burden on us, actually. Because as soon as you have something, I was just thinking about this the other night. I was walking back to my house where I live in Burlingame. And I was thinking how in 1989, I didn't have a house. I had an apartment. And it didn't belong to me. Of course, this doesn't belong to me, but I think it belongs to me. So the apartment didn't belong to me, and it was 1989, and I was up at Skyline College, and there was an earthquake. Was it 1989?
Yeah,
the Loma Prieta earthquake happened. And I was just walking into the school, and the glass on the window started to shake. And I didn't think much of it up there, but once I got into the classroom where I was taking a class, some of the students had been listening to the radio, and they said that the Bay Bridge had collapsed. And then the teacher came in and said everyone should go home because there was just a big earthquake. And on the way home, I was thinking, well, no big deal because I live in an apartment. Even if it fell down, it doesn't really belong to me. There was no real anxiety. There was more a curiosity about how much of the city had fallen down because it didn't... I was just curious to see what had happened. But then I was thinking, if you own a house, of course, you could try to pay for earthquake insurance, but it only covers a tiny little... You have to... it has to get up to $100,000 or something worth of damage before they'll even consider covering any of it. If you own a house, and then there's an earthquake, then, of course, you have a problem because you can just lose everything. So it becomes a burden on your head. The nicer the things that you have, the more money that you have, the nicer the situation that you have in this world, the more you're in anxiety. It's a burden. You can lose it at any time. So you could just renounce it all and go off into the forest, right? No. But you could, you can. You can do that. You can renounce it, but that's not our system. You can use everything for Krishna and realize that actually this belongs to Krishna and place it in its proper perspective, that this is being used in Krishna's service and we're not attached to it in that sense. Just as a banker who's counting millions of dollars is not attached to the money, he's attached to the service, but it's not his. He doesn't see it as his, so he doesn't lament its coming or going in any way. So this bhayam or fear comes about by misidentification with the body and thinking that something is mine. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing this process of surrender to the Lord, that I give everything to the Lord, and I give my family, my body, my house, everything in possession. It belongs to you, my Lord. And therefore, there's peace. And that's real knowledge, to understand that Krishna actually owns that. That's transcendental knowledge. And when we're in that situation, we'll actually experience real peace, that we're not connected with this material world at all. It's simply a misconception that I'm this body. And this is the root cause of materialistic life, is misidentification with this material body. And the beginning of spiritual life is to understand I'm not my body. I'm not a man, I'm not a woman, I'm not a cat, I'm not a dog. All these are simply designations that I've assumed by misidentification with the body. So we can conquer over that avidya and that source of unhappiness through the cultivation of transcendental knowledge, coming to know through the process of Krishna consciousness, engaging in devotional service, and hearing transcendental sound, how Krishna will reveal to us and we'll be able to understand properly our real constitutional position as eternal spiritual souls. And this is the true position of happiness and the proper situation in this lifetime. So we had some So this is something to contemplate, the power of transcendental knowledge, and that it's actually the only a source of peace in this world. And we have a little bit of time left before we have our artique, and so I wanted to hear if anybody had done their homework. Yes. Yes, very nice. Okay, so let's hear about the homework. What we had talked about was we're going to discuss the first verse, so let's read it, of the Shikshashtakam, the Gurvashtakam in the Nisong book. This is a very important song. It's sung in all of the temples all over ISKCON. And when is it sung?
1.5 hours
before sunrise. And if you sing this song loudly, 1.5 hours before sunrise, with devotion, what is the result? What will be the result of that? The sun will rise, definitely. And one will go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, so the first verse. Samsara davanada litaloka tranaya karunya ganagana tvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanada vinda. Samsara means the material existence. Dava anala, by the forest fire. Lidha, please say it and then we'll repeat. I'll say it, then please repeat. Lidha, afflicted. Loka, the people. Tranaya, to deliver. Karunya, of mercy. Ganaganatvam, the quality of a cloud. Praptasya,
who has obtained.
Kalyanam, auspicious.
Guna,
of qualities. Arnavasya,
who is an ocean.
Vande,
I offer obeisances.
Guru,
of my spiritual master.
Sri,
auspicious.
Charna Arnavindam,
unto the lotus feet.
Translation. The spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. Just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. You are very eager to read your homework, so let's hear from you first, okay? Could you pass through the microphone, please? So what are you, which part of the homework are you doing first? Tell us.
Spiritual master, the one which is related to this verse.
Yes. Okay.
So we found out two verses. One is Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjan Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yeno Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance, with the torchlight of knowledge.
Very nice. Okay, go ahead. You've got the floor.
The other one is from Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshayanti te jnanam jnanastattva darshanaha. Arthat, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth.
Nice. So now, can you just tell us a little bit why you chose those verses and how it relates to this first verse?
Actually, I was looking through the internet because we didn't have many books. We just had the Bhagavad Gita. So the one show, this Om Agyan Timirandhasya, I chose this because I read an article where Srila Prabhupada had given his first, I don't remember exactly what was it, it was the first lecture, the first tape recording which he gave, and this was the first shloka, this was the first verse which I saw. And I thought this, you know, related to this particular verse which he said, so I thought I'd just take this.
Nice, very nice. And the second verse, Tadvidhi Pranipatena? Okay.
This is one verse which you can take from Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Fits well.
And did you read it over and see how it fit?
Yes, yes, we did that.
So what was your realization?
So the thing was that we had recently downloaded the Bhagavad Gita recitation, and the first chapter to download was chapter 4. Mm. And while reciting the chapter 4, this came across, and same time, Sri Prabhupada also told us about the same verse. That's where it clicked us that, you know, this fits really well with the importance of spiritual master. And reading the purport and the meaning of the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, it was pretty clear that what Krishna was saying, that the importance of spiritual master in reaching the spiritual master.
Thank you very much. Nice. And did you do another part? You did. Okay, let's hear it.
नमो महा वदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णे कृष्णा चैतन्य नन्ने गौर कृष्ण नमः आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबीसेंसेस अनटु श्री चैतन्य हु इज द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल इनकार्नेशन ही हैज अपीयर्ड इन अ गोल्डन कलर फॉर द पर्पस ऑफ फ्री डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग प्योर लव ऑफ कृष्णा एंड आई टुक दिस बिकॉज आई सॉ वन एक्सप्लेनेशन व्हिच आई रियली लाइक्ड एंड आई थॉट इट विल बी वेरी गुड. In other incarnations, Lord Krishna would require the devotee to first surrender to him. Sarva dharman parityajin mam ekam sharanam braja. But in the incarnation as Sri Chaitanya, he would go to the non-devotees and freely distribute Krishna prema to all. This is the unique blessing of this age of Kali. Despite it being the most sinful age, the process of self-realization is the simplest and most accessible to all classes of men. And this is actually what happened to us also. We have all the books, we have you, we have this temple here, and it's actually, it's been, it's like, you know, it's on a silver platter. Everything has been given to us. We just have to take it. So I really like this verse.
You did a great job. Thank you very much. Bravo. And you have more? There's more. This is ecstatic. Okay, keep going.
यदा पश्य पश्यते रुक्मवर्णं कर्तारमीशं पुरुषं ब्रह्मयोनिं तदा विद्वान् पुण्यपापे विधूय निरञ्जनः परमं साम्यमुपैति. This we took from Mundaka Upanishad 3.3. When one realizes the golden form of Sri Chaitanya, who is the ultimate actor and the source of the supreme Brahman, he attains the highest knowledge. He transcends both pious and impious activities, becomes free from worldly knowledge and enters the divine abode of the Lord.
Mm.
This verse expresses the realization of Sri Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Very nice. How did you find that verse?
Through the internet.
Through the internet. Just see. You actually become Krishna conscious through the internet these days. And this proves that everything can be used in Krishna's service. Very innovative and good job. Very beautiful verses. Thank you so much. And it was particularly nice hearing your realization of the Namo Mahavananaya verse. Very nice. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Okay, who's next? Who would like to read their homework? Who's eager? Okay. Yes. Turn on the mic.
Actually, I didn't do any great thing, so just I was searching Vedabase.
The Vedabase. You have a Vedabase? Well, that's good. Everyone should have a Vedabase. There's a very powerful thing to have. Okay, go ahead.
I could find two verses related to samsara dhavanada.
Really? Great.
From Srimad Bhagavatam 5.14.15. Kvachid asachya kruham danavat priyardha viduram asukodarkam sokagnina dahyamano prisham nirvedam upagachati. The translation goes like this. In this world, family life is exactly like a blazing fire in the forest. There is not the least happiness, and gradually one becomes more and more implicated in unhappiness. In household life, there is nothing favorable for perpetual happiness. Being implicated in home life, the conditioned soul is burned by the fire of lamentation. Sometimes he condemns himself as being very unfortunate, and sometimes he claims that he suffers because he performed no pious activities in his previous life.
In the purport, actually,
Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Samsara Dhavanam Nalli Dhroka Tranayak Karunya Gana Ganatham. So a life in this material world is exactly like a blazing forest fire. No one goes to set fire to the forest, and the fire takes place. Similarly, everyone wants to be happy in the material world, but the miserable conditions of material life simply increase. Sometimes a person caught in the blazing fire of material existence condemns himself, but due to his bodily conception, he cannot get out of the entanglement, and thus he suffers more and more.
So my realization to this verse is I am a grahastha and I am actually suffering from this material world. But because of Guru's mercy, I am continuing my devotional service, and I'm trying to be happy in this material world.
Thank you very much. Very nice citation.
Actually, there are some more related verses like 5.1426 and 5.1413 also, but
okay.
I don't want to go through all those.
Do you have a Lord Chaitanya verse for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give us that.
Yes. Krishna Varnam, Tisha Krishnam, Sangopanagastra Prasadam, Yajne Sankirtana Prayer, Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting, to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions.
Nice.
So actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared in this age of Kali to deliver the fallen souls like me. That is my realization.
Hare Krishna. Save that one, because we want to get a few more devotees in, and we'll end up sharing these more, so keep them with you. Okay, who's next? Yes, Praveena.
To
its material world is something like just a body, but whereas if you are Krishna consciousness, this human life is something like body with the soul. Otherwise, without Krishna consciousness, this human body is just a body without soul. So it has no meaning. It has it's nothing. It is useless. So this Krishna consciousness is such an important thing, and we got it by yeah, many people if we don't have guru or spiritual master, we wouldn't have got this ecstatic knowledge from them. Otherwise, we might be just blamed like this and continuing our useless life. So this mainly got it from the spiritual masters. Especially whenever I read this verse, I remember Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the one who brought this throughout the world, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And I was whenever I see I feel I'm the most fortunate person to come into Krishna consciousness. So I was searching I've written some realizations, and I've written 2-3 lines of my realizations, and I was thinking it's not so appropriate. I want to tell something more, something like that. But I was searching a lot, and finally I found one verse with a purport written by Prabhupada. Whatever I thought, it was just a small subset of what actually the purport and the verse is a superset of what I thought. So that was one of the other things I liked, and the verse goes like this. Brahmanda brahmaite kona bhagyavan jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. So it's the word to word like meaning is so specific, like just read it and I miss I have written something but I feel the Prabhupada's purport that tells like more and I want to just repeat the words of Prabhupada but what I just told about this word. So actually the translation goes like this. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to upper planetary systems and some are going down into a lower planetary system. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the people of devotional service. So, in the purport, actually, I don't want to go to public school. And the purport, Prabhupada mentions like how actually Narad Muni gives the Narad Muni example. Like in the previous life, he was how he was like. Actually, he was a person, normal person, and he was just serving. But he got this opportunity just by associating with the Vaishnavas. And mainly he was serving Vaishnavas, and because of them, he did this wonderful work and became like one of the exalted devotee and exalted saint. So in the purport, Prabhupada also explains one of the very nice verses that I like. So that goes like this. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Kabu Naya Sharanadi Suddha Chitte Koraya Udaya. Something like this. Each and every verse is coming from the heart, like the translation that goes like this is in the Prabhupada, he explains in the purport with this verse itself, like dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Means everyone has that Krishna conscious, but only thing is it's not revealed. It's not something like it will be revealed. It will be revealed only the like mercy of spiritual master Krishna. So he says, like, dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bija. So it's just with the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Like, we get the Guru with the mercy of Krishna. So that was one of the things, and it's like so wonderful. And one of the in Madhyamika, in one of the purports, I also read the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments on the Guru that goes like this. That's in the verse Madhyamika 25.9, the purport Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments. Only an empowered personality can distribute the holy name of the Lord and enjoin all fallen souls to worship Krishna. By distributing the holy name of the Lord, he cleanses the hearts of the most fallen people. Therefore, he extinguishes the blazing fire of the material world. Not only that, he broadcasts the shining brightness of Krishna's effulgence throughout the world. Such an acharya or spiritual master should be considered not different from Krishna. That is, he should be considered the incarnation of Lord Krishna's potency. So spiritual master is someone who is not different from Krishna. So just because of even though Krishna is there, we might not get it everything because it's not so easy. Just with the mercy of spiritual masters like Sopa, we are able to get the knowledge directly from him. So it was very nice.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And you have one Lord Chaitanya verse?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a special verse.
Okay.
Actually, like whenever I feel like Krishna, like being in Krishna consciousness itself is so fortunate. It's very a rare thing. But I feel like after coming to ISKCON Silicon Valley, especially I feel like instead of like being situated in Krishna consciousness itself is so it's not so common. And here at ISKCON Silicon Valley, we're able to do the preaching also, preaching like by distributing books. So I always think like such a fallen soul like me, not insignificant, like how am I getting this opportunity to distribute, like preach Krishna consciousness and distribute it. So I used to always think that, and one of the verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like it goes, Vande Ananta Adbhuta Aishwaryam Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhum Nichopi Yat Prasadat Syat Bhakti Shastra Pravartakam. So in that verse, like it's mentioned that just because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so opulent and so merciful, just because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy only, we'll be able to do the preaching and spread the Krishna consciousness. So it's just Mahaprabhu's mercy that is floating in this Silicon Valley, because of which we are able to do the teaching for that aspect.
Wow. Right. Thank you, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Very nice. So, who's next? Okay.
To stick that truth, I wanted to finish this homework very quickly. So I read the verse and the word for word meaning and the translation. Just read it a couple of times, two times. And then I wanted to just pick up the first word, because I don't want to spend a lot of time picking up which word I want to read the translation. I just picked up the first word, samsara. Then I looked
good.
Few verses about samsara. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5.14.1. It describes samsara. The translation is a little long, but I'll read it. When King Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest, Sukadeva Goswami replied as follows: "My dear king, a man belonging to the mercantile community, one is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood and earth, and sell them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of external energy, Dairi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees, who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after the other, under the influence of material energy, and impelled by the modes of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus, he suffers continuously due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses under the control of external energy, Maya, the living entity suffers in miserable conditions of material existence. He is actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled. Although sometimes he is relieved of a great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get the shelter of pure devotees, who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And this is not a purport, actually this is the translation of that verse. I'll read another verse about the samsara. This is from Mukunda Mala Stotra, verse number 13. It goes like this: "O Lord of the three worlds, we are drowning in the vast ocean of samsara, which is filled with the waters of material hankering, with many waves of illusion whipped by the winds of lust, with whirlpools of vice, and with vast schools of sharks and other sea monsters who are our sons and brothers. O giver of benediction, please grant me a place on the boat of devotion that is your Lord's feet."
Right. Nice verses.
These two are the descriptions of samsara. Now, you know, just today, one verse, another verse from Mukunda Mahasutra, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita, about Lord Chaitanya also. But these two verses describe how to get out of this samsara. So this is from Mukunda Mahasutra, verse number 31. O tongue, please constantly chant the mantra composed of Sri Krishna's names. This is the only mantra for destroying all enemies. The mantra worshipped by every word of the Upanishad. The mantra that uproots samsara. The mantra that drives away all the darkness of ignorance. The mantra for attaining infinite opulence. The mantra for curing those bitten by the poisonous snake of worldly distress. And the mantra for making one's birth in this world successful. So this was your test, how to get up this samsara. The next about the Lord Chaitanya, you know, I just happened to pick up a verse that kind of goes with other verses. This verse goes like this. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Tatir Anyatha. In this age of Kali, there is no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name of Lord Hari.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
Regarding the samsara bhava thing, point one, that is 2.41 for Bhagavad Gita. The whole thing about samsara bhava just mentioned is how the forest fire is actually extinguished by a cloud with rain. Krishna's mercy, and then basically the spiritual master takes away all the material mysteries and material existence, and takes the soul back to Goloka Vrindavan. In 2.41, actually, the shloka in the purport, it is mentioned that we need to satisfy the spiritual master. So if we don't, then there is no chance to be promoted to Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing else but just satisfying the spiritual master. And the other verse was from Bhagavad Gita itself, verse 12:20, where Arjuna is asking many questions to Krishna, whether impersonal Brahman is important, or devotional service and Krishna consciousness is important. He does say that devotional service and Krishna consciousness is better, and then accepting a spiritual master is such an important thing, where we get to, when we accept a spiritual master, we hear, chant, and observe the religious principles. And with faith and attachment and devotion, we can achieve what's impossible. And about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the quality that I really, really most admire is his humbleness. Like how he explains in Shikshashtaka that Trinadapi Sunishana, Tarodhika Sunishana, Vamina Manalina Kitani Zahari. Just not getting the verse, but he just really lives by that. I was actually trying to look for the verse, but I couldn't find the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I remember the little story where there are a whole lot of people who assemble in the, in near Prayag, where they want to discuss about Vedanta philosophy and everything. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and he's, sitting in the corner, outside the door. And people say, do you want to, please come on in. And, he doesn't want any kind of a respect from what, from whatever is, he could have got so much of respect, but he didn't want any respect at all. And the other one, which really felt was that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my guru felt that I was really foolish and I don't have any qualification, but that's the reason that I can read all these books and get so much knowledge. My whole purpose is I have to just chant. I don't think I can do anything more. So, he just lives by his words, literally the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and just showing us how to do that. So it's just a wonderful quality. And I've been trying to read a chapter a day, but one day I missed it. I thought, okay, maybe I have to do the second chapter because it's one of the main important chapters, like how I got to Krishna consciousness, because I was so impressed, and because all the questions about soul and everything was answered within that chapter. So I took a printout from Vedabase and it came out to be almost 7 pages, which is a little hard for a day chapter, I felt, but I'm just trying to do that.
Bravo. Thank you very much. Well, we're running a little short on time as far as, I don't think we're going to be able to get to everybody for the homework, but it's been very enlightening hearing all these different angles of research that everyone's done. Did you like doing the research? Yeah. Okay, it's nice to have something to, you know, to look up, and it makes it a lot more prominent in our consciousness when we're doing some research like that and writing things down, doesn't it? So keep your homework. Next Wednesday, we won't be having the class, but we'll be having it Thursday instead. And His Holiness Indradumna Swami will be here for a program next Thursday night, which will start at 6 o'clock. And so he'll be giving a talk. And then, of course, this weekend, coming up on Friday night, we have Gaur Purnima. And it'll be starting at 5 o'clock p.m. We'll be having bhajans starting at 5, and then we'll also be having an abhishek for Lord Chaitanya at around 6 o'clock. And then there'll be a class, and there'll be the artik at 8 o'clock. And for the devotees who are following the actual standard, we're going to have an Ekadashi feast that is no grains for that day. And then for those many guests who are coming from many different places to participate in the Gaur Purnima who aren't used to that standard, we'll also have a grain feast. So there'll be two areas, one serving the grain feast and one serving the grainless feast. So make sure you get in the right line if you're following that. And then the next morning, on Saturday morning, we'll have a feast for the devotees, a grain feast for the devotees. Were you raising your hand? Yes? What's that? You want to do nirjal?
No, whoever does nirjala would be having a grainless feast.
If you're doing nirjal, you could break your nirjal at moonrise with water. Because on the appearance day, any Vishnu appearance day, typically we have, the standard is to have an Ekadashi feast. You don't take grains on that day. Gurung Kishore specifically pointed out a letter where Prabhupada talks about Gaur Purnima itself and how to follow it, specifically fasting until moonrise. Then you can break with a feast, an Ekadashi feast, and then the next day having a grain feast. So he gave us that specific instruction. And most Vaishnavas follow this Ekadashi feasting on any Vishnu appearance day. It's generally the system. But if you do Nirjal Ekadashi, you can just break it with water. It makes it a lot easier. And then Saturday, we're going to have more Sankirtan for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sunday as well. And that goes all the way through Thursday, because on Thursday, that's when we're going to tally all the scores that we're going to offer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we will offer them on that night, on Thursday night, when Indradyumna Swami's here. So that gives us a little bit more time. And do we have any indication of how we're doing so far? I mean, we did before going into the weekend, but I don't know about now. Rakshit Prabhu?
We are about halfway there with respect to our goals.
Including this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Up until this point, the scores that have
up until today?
Today, yes, and which includes your score also.
Okay. We went out today, Dainini Prabhu and Ram Lakshanai went out to San Francisco State University. It was quite good. Of course, there's only one more day for that because spring break is coming, and next week the universities won't be available. So we're halfway there.
2 years. I think that's
our schools are not devoted.
Well, there are still some devotees to report. Milan Prabhu has also gone out. He is yet to report.
Okay.
Harinam has to be reported. And so
our calculation just came about 1,800, 1,900 books.
1,800 and 1,900 books, okay. Okay, not including the Chaitanya Charitamritas, we have about 1,800 books distributed so far. Means we have at least another 1,000 books to distribute. I'm not so worried about that, but how are we doing with the number of devotees that have gone out on book distribution? Does Praveena know how many we have? Probably not.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many are there? I think so far around 40 to 42.
42 devotees have gone out, and we need 85.
Another equal number of new devotees.
Okay. What's the plan?
Yeah, this weekend there are not many devotees lined up for
people. New devotees.
Yeah, new devotees.
Srivatsa, you did your part. Srivatsa went out on door-to-door Sankirtan right in this neighborhood along with Yash and Krishna. And
I know that.
Well, I know you know that, but I'm just telling everybody else. And we went to about 20 or 25 doors, and the kids did a great job. So what do you think, Srivatsa? Should everybody else go out? Was it fun? Right answer. Thank you very much.
We actually learned a lot from you both.
Oh, good.
And so, we personally felt that, we've been on book distribution for another so many times.
And I love those carob groups.
And we found a carob tree.
And
we
okay.
Nice. It was a nice day. We had a lot of fun. Going out on Sankirtan is the most exciting thing you can do. And so it's something Prabhupada emphasized to us, to go out and distribute books to others. And we don't know what the effect will be. You know, Venkatesh Prabhu has met, is he a student? Just a friend, somebody? He's from Iran. But you distributed a book to him or preached to him, and he's a poetical kind of person who likes literature and everything like that, and he very much liked the Farsi book. And now he's taking a bunch of Farsi books back to Iran to distribute. And who knows what that will turn into. Anything can happen with this literature distribution. It's very exciting. And going out to give mercy to others is very important. So we have about 45 distributors have gone out so far, and we need how many more? We need 35 new distributors, yes? Two right here. Very nice. You can.
Also, I think Kiran Ayushi,
yes.
Anuradha Sakhi, they are supposed to go with us for the thing on that day, but they couldn't make it. And
okay.
Ravina,
all right.
I'm a little born. One, she was just thinking of. So, we'll probably have six of them.
Okay.
Five of them for sure.
All right. Well, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. But this will be... Okay, so you can find out where you're going to go ahead of time. Find out a team that you're going to go with. And you can talk to Praveena. She'll match you up with the right team at the right time so you can go. And if you have any other ideas of devotees that want to go out, call them up or let us know so we can invite them to come out on Sankirtan. This is the time to do it. This weekend may be our last chance. Yes, Srivatsa? You have a suggestion? Okay. So, and then the Lakshmi, how are we doing?
Well, we have crossed the 4,000 mark.
Okay.
And from the scores that have not been reported, some of Harinam and Milan Prabhu, it will go higher. So I think it's going to boil down to something like 1,600, 1,800.
Okay, so we have a couple more thousand dollars to go, and we need also 51 names collected as well. Okay, well, don't stop collecting names because it's a good idea to get in that habit. We're also creating some better collection sheets too, so we can get more information from people. And when we do that, while I'm thinking of it, here's some lunch. Thank you very much. So this is a chance to offer something tangible to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by going out and making the sacrifice to give this knowledge to others. And, you know, we don't get very many opportunities like this. It's a rare thing, so let's go for it as much as we can this weekend. And everybody participate. Yes? Okay, great. And maybe we can provide them with the door hangers as well, if anybody's not home. Do we need some or do we have them?
I have some.
Okay, so they can take them out. And if I can be of any assistance going out with the kids, I thought it was a lot of fun, so I'll do it again sometime, anytime. Any other points that we need to cover? Friday night, everybody knows what they're doing. There are all kinds of services for Friday night, and it's a great opportunity also Friday night for book distribution and many other things. And you want a Chaitanya? Who wants a Chaitanya Charitamrita set? Okay. All right. So anyway, we have full sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita sets, and they're only $108. So everyone should have a full set of Chaitanya Charitamritas. Please take them. All these will be gone by Gorpranima, and then you won't be able to get one because we're going to distribute them all on Friday night. They're going to go in 5-10 minutes. So if you want one, I would grab it now while you still have a chance. Okay. Anything else? And do we still have Maha Mantras available? Okay, so we also have the Maha Mantras, and it's one of the best things you can do for your sadhana is to get one of these Maha Mantra placards that's been handmade by Praveena. And if you watch it, if you look at that while you're chanting, it's very helpful. Oh, we're using it every day now at our house. In fact, I have two of them. Okay. Yes, Raksha Prabhu.
Those who have taken the sets to let us know that they have done that.
Okay.
Because between last Saturday and now, some sets have been taken, but we don't know who are the people who are the recipients.
Okay, so we'll have to track down everyone who's taken a set and let Rakshit know, and also hand in your Lakshmi for those sets. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bol.